Good morning. Good morning, all the members of the Lord of the Harvest. Good morning of all on the internet, and good morning, South Warren. I'm going to read from Psalm 66. How many know? I can take this off, can I?
Yeah.
How many know that in the midst of trouble, we still praise our God? We still praise the Most High God, even in the midst of trouble, either corporately or individually. So I'm going to read Psalm 66. Praise to God for His awesome works. Make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, how awesome are your works. Through the greatness of your power, your enemies shall submit themselves to you. All the earth shall worship you and sing praises to you. They shall sing praises to your name, Selah. Come and see the works of God, His awesomeness in His doing towards the sons of men. He turned the sea to dry land. They went through the river on foot. There we will rejoice in Him. He rules by His power forever. His eyes observe the nations. Do not let the rebellious exalt themselves, Selah. Oh, bless our God, you people, and make the voice of His praise to be heard, who keeps our soul among the living and does not allow our feet to be moved. I like the breeze, but for you, O God, have tested me. You have refined us as silver is refined. You have brought us into the net and laid afflictions on our backs. You have caused men to ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, but you brought us out to rich fulfillment. I will go into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, which my lips have uttered, and my mouth has spoken when I was in trouble. I will offer you burnt sacrifices of fat animals with the sweet aroma of rams. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God, and I will declare what He has done for my soul. I cried to Him with my mouth, and He was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear. But certainly God has heard me. He has attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Father, thank you, Lord God. Thank you that even in the times of uncertainty, even in the times of trouble, we know that you are there for us and that you have thoughts of good, of hope, and a future. And we praise you with the fruit of our mouths, Lord God. We give you glory and honor this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, everybody. We're going to share communion right now. So if you're at home, you might want to go and get something that would symbolize the body and blood of Christ. And I was going to read some scripture, but I'm not sure that I'm going to do that now. So, as you're preparing, I want to confess to you guys right now that, I mean, obviously we're all going through all kinds of stuff in our heads right now. And I was struggling with whether I should come here today. I missed church 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't sure about today. And basically, it's you know, even though I'm doing quite well right now, I mean, I have like great issues which cause me to be like a high probability, you know, to suffer from COVID, because I have diabetes, I have migraines which are vascular, I have asthma, and I can't remember what else now, but I mean, I have a lot of things that they say, you know, you're high risk. And whatever is not done in faith is sin. We know that. And the reason I'm here today is because Pastor asked me to come and share. And even though I don't have anything that I think is great earth-shattering to share, maybe there's something that somebody needs to hear today. And so I'm just depending on the Lord, because we ourselves are nothing in ourselves, but it's the Holy Spirit that's within us. And so, you know, with everything going on right now, and I'm a teacher, and there's all kinds of information coming back to us, back and forth. What are we going to do? How are we going to do it? Are we going to have kids in the classroom? Is everything going to be done online? You know, we get stressed out. It's kind of crazy. And basically, you know, that's what the Lord told me today. You know, whatever is not done in faith is sin. And so I've come to the conclusion that when God tells me to do something, or, you know, Pastor asked and I thought, you know what, I'll do it. And so maybe somebody needed to hear this today. I don't know. But I don't know if I'll be back every Sunday, and we'll see how the numbers go out there in the world. If my boss tells me, you know, if the district says that we go back to school part-time, I'm going to have to go in faith and trust God. And if we're supposed to teach online, I'll teach online in faith. And there are so many things, even with the political situation right now, and I'm looking at Psalm 57 or 58 this morning about, you know, the politicians, and it's like, it's pretty amazing how we're following along with the Psalms and, you know, how it applies every day to everybody. And I know that when I go to my job as a teacher, I'm doing something I'm supposed to be doing. And I know if I'm here, I'm doing something I'm supposed to be doing. But just because we're born again, you know, I don't take it for granted that God's going to save me from everything, because things are uncertain. I try not to be foolish and try to be wise. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And so I guess today I'm here in the fear of the Lord. And I'm encouraging everybody to seek God about the fear of the Lord. What is it? Do you have it in your life? How does it order your steps? Do you do or not do based on that? And I know that in the end, I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. You know, Jesus has done everything for me that, you know, procures my salvation. But I'm not my own person. You're not your own person. We're here not for ourselves. We're here for everybody else, and to bring glory to God's name. And in communion, we're sharing with one another. We're sharing with all of the believers who've gone before us and all the believers who will come after us. It unites all of us. And we have to find our way through all of this stuff that's going on. We have to find a way to connect ourselves to the broader body of Christ. And we need to seek God about that. But right now, we're going to do it through the remembrance of his death and resurrection and ascension, of his broken body and his poured out blood. So you guys can all take your communion and we'll share it together. Lord, I thank you for your body, which you so freely gave. And you did everything that you did in faith. And you did what you heard the Father say and what you saw the Father do. And that's what we want to do, Lord God. So thank you for your body. And Lord, we thank you for your blood that was poured out for us to cover our sins, for our healing, for our deliverance. You're a merciful God, and we praise you right now. We see such sorrow around us. We see destruction around us. We see suffering around us, Lord God. But your blood covers all of that, Lord, and we still praise you. We still worship and glorify you, Lord God. We still say, Lord, that we could not survive without you, Lord God. It's you. It's all about you. We ask that your blood not only cover us, but our loved ones as well. We thank you and we praise you for that in Jesus' name.
Before we go into the next portion of our service, I want to read a text that I received. I pass this on to some of you, but I just want our church to know. We lost a great man of God. We received this communication yesterday at about 6 a.m. Cairo time. So we heard about it in the early afternoon. Pastor Nathan Georgie, our dear brother from Egypt, at the age of 86, passed away. 6 a.m. Cairo time today. That was yesterday. He is with Jesus and his beloved wife, Lily. Lily had previously gone home on the 10th of July, 2004. We are trying to reach each church which welcomed him. Would you mind to pass the word to those in your area? Four of his and Lily's six children live in Florida. The other two, of course, are overseas. There will be a memorial today in Egypt, I believe, but perhaps it's in... I'm actually don't know where the memorial is, but I'm assuming it's in Egypt. We ask prayer for all six of Nathan and Lily's adult children. Nathan and Lily have finished their race. Please lift the family up in prayer. And there's a, if anybody has memories, I can get you a, something that you wanted to send on to. This is from the Whites, who actually, I believe, were they with us last year or was it the summer before? The Whites will get the information to the family. Condolences, prayers, encouragements. Lord, we know that our brother Natan was a great and a powerful man of God. You used him mightily in his homeland. You used him throughout the Middle East to spread the gospel. Lord, you used him. He blessed my family. He blessed this church. He blessed the fisherman's net. He blessed many churches, Lord, with his encouragement, Lord, and his strength, Father. We ask that the mantle that was on him would be passed on to his family, onto those who will be continuing to lead the church in Egypt, Lord, and those who are of his family that are scattered throughout the earth, Lord. Bring comfort, Lord. Bring peace, bring strength, Lord. Move mightily and powerfully. In the name of Jesus, we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
Well, the next portion, today we're celebrating all of our high school graduates. We have eight from Lord of the Harvest. They're not all here. Some are working. Some obviously aren't here because of the situation we're in, and there are several who are here, and some family representatives who are here for those that couldn't make it. We'll call out all their names. We have gifts for them. What an incredible graduation year it was, right? My grandson is here, and well, this has been a year like no other year for the graduates, but we're going to have a gift bag for them. I'm just letting you know there's chocolate in there, so be careful with that as far as leaving it out in the sun. You have a Bible, and you've got a cap for graduation. So we've got the stuff there. Well, I'll call up the graduates or their representatives, and you can come and get their gifts. Rio Bird was going to share. She wanted to share some things on behalf of the graduates today, but Rio had to work today. And so her dad, Pastor Bird, will be sharing some things on her behalf. So our first graduate, and I'm gonna go in alphabetical order except for Rio. And if you're here, come on up and get your gifts. And if they're not here, but a representative, come on up and get their gifts from them. First of all, Riley Asher graduated this year. I don't see Riley or Mary Jo, but we'll get this stuff to our graduates. Next, my grandson, Cole Chapp. Cole, come on up. Next, we have Antoinette Clark. Antoinette, come on up. Next, we have Stacia Harris, and her dad, Cap, is here. Come on up, Cap, representing Stacia. Also graduating this year was Dylan Mitchell. Dylan's not here, but we will be getting that stuff over to Dylan. Let's give Dylan a hand. We have Via Thompson, Amber and Chris Brace's daughter. They're not here, but let's give Via a hand. And then we have Adriana Vilk. That's Chris Dill's daughter, and let's give Adriana a hand. And our eighth graduate was Rio Bird, and Pastor Bird, her father, is gonna come up and share some things on her behalf for our graduates, and then I'm gonna pray.
Praise God, everybody. You know, my daughter is such a free spirit, man. It's just miraculous how God can take a mother and father and can make a offspring from them. And you look at them and you're like, wow, where did this kid come from? And I just think, man, I really ask Pastor Jan, I really thank you guys for the vision. Because you know, my two oldest, you know, Zani and Rio, they understand, man. Their understanding of the word is so much broader than it was when I was that age. And I know that it's because of Lord of Harvest. And I know that it's because of God wanting them. And, you know, Rio, she had to work. I really wish she could have been here. But I'm just going to say thank you for all that you have done, you know, planning this church, planning it right here on Shaner and Topher, carrying the word forth, and just being such an inspiration to the young adults. It's powerful, man, because you see them you know, when they 8, 9, and 10, and you don't think about what it is God wants to do with them. But when they get 17 and 18, you start thinking, wow, man, what is going on? Which way are they going? I just want to say, those that are graduating and those that are coming after, follow God. You know, my daughter, she had to work. She got 90 days to put in. So, you know, she didn't want to miss a day, you know, and they have her on the schedule. She work at Home Depot in Allen Park, and she's serious about her job. You know, it's amazing. She's just serious about it. You know, oh, Dad, do I have to? You know, I can't miss a day. You know, I'm trying to. And I said, Rio, I'm not going to interrupt what you're trying to do. You're adult enough to make the decision about what's important to you. And I just want to say, I just want to speak up for that. She loves you and she wish she could have been here. If she had had 90 days in, she could have took the day off, you know, or traded a day with somebody. But she had to be there. She wouldn't get off until 12. And then from Allen Park to here is about 45, 50 minute drive. We would all have been gone. So I just want to thank you, Pastor Jan and Pastor Oz. You shown my daughter so much love, my children, period. You shown them so much love. And all the rest of you, you here, you know, Pastor Andrea and Pastor Rob and Allison and Catherine, you know, you all, especially Allison and Catherine, you know, you all gave them inspiration because you all are just a few years older than them. And they saw you all walking it out. And they saw you all going through, you know, when, you know, Nathan went through that bad season. You know what I'm saying? He went through the bad season. They didn't kind of understand, but they looked to you and they seen how you handled it. And you all are so strong and you all are so powerful. And you don't know that my children has gleaned a lot from you all. And I just want to thank you. You know, this is a blessed day. They didn't really get anything from the high school, but this right here is powerful enough for them to remember and say, hey, I got something. Because I wanted to see my daughter walk across that stage, man. But this right here is powerful. It's powerful. Because I know it's God, I know it's Jesus saying, hey, I recognize you. So you all thank you, and Rio is saying thank you too. Thank you.
So I'm gonna have a prayer over all the graduates, Lord. Father, so I bring Riley before you, Rio, Cole, Antoinette, Stacia, Dylan, Via, and Adriana, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We know that high school graduation is a rite of passage in our culture. But Lord, there's a greater journey than they're on than just the course charted by culture, Lord. These are children, Lord, who've been raised as Christians, been raised with Christian parents, been raised in the faith, been raised with a knowledge of you, Lord. They are children who have watched their parents go through good times and bad times, Lord, difficult times, and they've seen the faith of their parents, Lord. They've also seen their parents are very human, very fallible, Lord. Sinners saved by grace, Lord. There's a powerful testimony, Lord. There's a mantle, Lord. There's an inheritance that each of these young people have. And we pray right now, Lord, a graduation blessing, Lord, a promotion, a blessing that says the hand of God has carried them thus far. Lord, continue to carry them and bring them into the destiny, the purpose, and the inheritance that you have mapped out for them, Lord. Lord, there are many dangers on the way, in the path, Lord. There are enemies, Lord, enemies of your kingdom, enemies of your life, enemies of your love, enemies of your word. Some are internal, they're in our own hearts. Some are external, Lord God. They come from powers and principalities, spiritual wickedness in heavenly places, Lord. But we declare these eight, Lord, whom we've named before you, Lord, and who you know their names, Lord. Their names are written in your book, Lord. We declare, Lord, that you will have the final say, Lord. Work out the purpose for which you've created them, Lord, in their lives, Lord. Let nothing hinder, let nothing stop that purpose from coming forth. May they have a revelation of Jesus Christ, a powerful revelation in their lives, Lord, today, tomorrow, as they continue their journey, Lord, as they continue to walk out their lives, Lord. May they have a powerful revelation of Jesus by your grace, Holy Spirit. May they have an encounter with their Lord and with their God and with their King, Lord. And may you impart to them joy in the journey, strength in the journey, encouragement in the journey. May your love for them translate into love for their fellow man, in the love for their family, in the love for the body of Christ, into love for the truth, Lord. And grant that out of this overflowing of your love and joy and grace, may they serve you. May they remain faithful to you. May they stay on the path, Lord. And again, we remind you, for Riley Asher, Rio Bird, Cole Chapp, Antoinette Clark, Stacia Harris, Dylan Mitchell, Via Thompson, and Adriana Vilk, grant it unto them. In Jesus' name we pray it. Amen.
Amen.
We'll close with a short message. I got carried away last week. 2 weeks ago, nobody could believe how short my message was. We got out of here on time. Last week, I got caught up. It was a powerful word. I forget time. I forget temperature. I forget that we're in a pandemic when I start preaching. But this will be a simple word, a short word, just an exhortation from Ephesians chapter 4. If there's ever been a time, an hour in the earth right now, where we need leadership, godly leadership, leadership rooted in Christ, now is that time. As the church, as our nation, as the world finds itself in unparalleled crisis from many different directions, we remember that Jesus did not leave us orphans. Jesus did not leave us alone. Now we know he sent the Holy Spirit to be with us. He said to his disciples, I have to leave, but it's a good thing that I go, because if I go, I'm going to send my Spirit. And Jesus actually said it was an advantage for the Holy Spirit to come. Because Jesus, because he was a man, He was God, but he was infleshed in human form. Jesus could only be in one place at one time. So if he fell asleep in the boat, or his disciples got lost, or his disciples got caught up in some kind of a situation and he wasn't there, they panicked. But he sent his spirit after he ascended to heaven, and his spirit is with us always. There's never a time when Jesus is not with us through the Holy Spirit. He gave us his word to guide us. That's what we're reading from today, what we've read before and what we're reading now. But he also gave us leaders in the body of Christ. And the prototypical leaders are called fivefold ministers. Now, what these are Jesus giving himself to men and women who live out what he was on the earth when he was here. We have the gifts of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives people different gifts. As Neil Silverberg pointed out yesterday on the worldwide school of ministry that Steve Fado put on yesterday, he said, we get gifts of the Spirit for ourselves, but these five ministries, they are gifts from God to us. We can receive gifts from the Spirit, and we have leaders who are the gifts of God. Now, we know we live in a world where power is abused and leaders have all kinds of wrong motives for leadership, and they use people, they do harm and damage to people, but God still believes in leadership. And Ephesians 4:11 says this, and he himself, that's Jesus, gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Those are five gifts. Jesus is called an apostle. It's prophesied that he was going to be the ultimate final prophet. He practiced the work of evangelism in the gospel. He was called rabbi, teacher. And the one that Jesus referred to himself as, he never called himself an apostle, prophet, evangelist, or teacher. Others did. But he said, I am the good shepherd. I'm the good pastor. Jesus called himself a pastor. That's one of the five gifts. And it's so important. All these gifts have Jesus' heart, and they all have a shepherd's heart. The shepherd cares for his sheep. We are his sheep. We are his people. So Jesus was all those things, and when he left by his Spirit, he raises up individuals who can represent his apostolic side, individuals who can represent his prophetic, evangelistic, pastoral, and teaching side. And we need them as much as we need the Holy Spirit and Scripture. Do we understand that? See, a lot of people are like, well, I serve Jesus. I don't need to go to church. You need to have leaders, though, in your life who manifest that gifting of Jesus. The purpose of these leaders is to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Leaders produce other leaders. And the second thing they do is they build up the body of Christ. They strengthen the church to become conformed to the image of the Lord. Everything we prayed for the graduates today, leadership imparts to the church so that we can fulfill our purpose and journey in the Lord. The passage continues, and the purpose, which is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, strengthen the body of Christ, has a focus, a goal, until we all come to the unity of the faith. Fivefold ministry doesn't divide people from each other. Christ-like ministry doesn't divide people from each other. It unites people in the faith till we all come to the unity of the faith, till we all come to the complete revelation of the Son of God. Leadership brings the revelation of Jesus, as Pastor Bird was talking about, how through this church and through members of the church and through leaders of the church, his children have been impacted. They've seen Jesus in that leadership. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, the full revelation of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. It's about maturity. So we need godly leadership to prepare people to do the work of Jesus's ministry, to strengthen the church, to bring the church into unity, to bring the revelation of Christ to the church, and to bring maturity to the church. And then immediately in the 14th verse, Paul counters maturity with immaturity. This is the real test of leadership, whether it's national leadership, state leadership, local leadership, teachers, doctors, nurses, law enforcement, frontline leadership, economic leadership, church leadership. Leadership is judged by whether it brings maturity or it fosters immaturity in people. In this current crisis, we need to look to our leaders and determine whether they are bringing maturity, a mature response in our nation, in our people, in our church, or whether they are justifying people staying in immaturity. The same can be said about the church. And it says this leadership is countered with immaturity. This leadership is there so that we should no longer be children, childish, immature. Our graduates are being called to a level of maturity. They're not children anymore. That we should no longer be children. And then it characterizes children just as mature leadership defines God's people in a certain way. Poor leadership is characterized by immaturity. And this is the immaturity. Tossed to and fro like a ship on the waters by every wind of teaching. Poor teaching. Teaching that doesn't build character, that doesn't make people of integrity and love and righteousness. That characterizes another kind of leadership. False teaching. By the trickery of men, the manipulative trickery of men, people manipulating other people. That's not the leadership that Christ gives. And those who have secret agendas in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting and planning. People with agendas are false teachers, they're con artists. And those kinds of leaders do not create mature people. The passage closes, but rather, see, there's something positive, something negative, but Scripture never ends with something negative. It counters with something positive. Two positive sayings for every negative saying. So we want to get back to that mature leadership. And most translations say, speaking the truth in love. It counters this agenda-driven, con artist, false teaching, manipulation, with speaking the truth in love. But the honest thing is, it doesn't say that in the Greek. The Greek says, but rather, truthing in love. We don't have a verb in English that corresponds. We don't say truth something. We speak of doing the truth. So a better translation would be, but rather, doing the truth in love, representing the truth in love, exemplifying the truth in love in our words, our deeds, our thoughts, our motives, and our actions. That's what fivefold ministry does. It truths in love. It brings people into the truth in love. One thing you can guarantee is where love is, there will be Christ. Where love is, there will be mature leadership. And where love is, people will be strengthened and equipped. But doing the truth or performing the truth or bringing the truth into people's lives in love, the church may grow up in all things into the one who is the head of the body, Jesus Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. And it speaks of a head, a brain functioning neurologically and transmitting impulses to the whole body that's joined and knit together by joints and nerve endings. It speaks of a healthy functioning body. What the head transmits to a healthy body, the body receives. But the body, the skeletal system, the muscular system, all the systems of the body are joined together. See, we're the joints. Jesus is the head. His spirit moves through us. But by being unified with each other, by hanging on to each other, by serving each other, by loving each other, we keep the body together to live out its destiny. And then it says, according to the effective work by which every part does its share. And see, that's the key to a really mature church, where you have really godly leaders who are truly mature in Christ, who walk in the love of Christ. And the word for love here is agape, and that's self-sacrificial love. Where you have a really effective, mature church, it's where every part does its share. The leaders don't do the work of the church. They help everybody to do the work of the church. And when every part is doing its share, it causes the growth of the church, the growth of the body of the Christ, for the strengthening of itself in love. It starts in love, it continues in love, it ends in love, it's strengthened by love. So, Father, we close our service this day. We rejoice in you, Lord. We close our service this day and we ask you, Lord God, raise up mature leaders in this church. Raise up mature leaders in the church, Lord. Raise up mature leaders in our nation right now, Lord. Raise up mature leaders in law enforcement, Lord. Raise up mature leaders to help guide our economy, Lord. Raise up mature leaders in the body of Christ so that the church can become everything it's destined to become in Christ. We ask for this in the name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, God bless you. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.